welcome listeners to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, a health and environmental journalist. I'm here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network with a show that connects all the dots from our personal health to our total environment for our health, which includes our communities, our water, our food, our air, our healthcare system, and the way we structure our society, as well as the conditions in our natural habitat, planet Earth. I'm here with you every Wednesday here on Connect the Dots to bring in different thought leaders and experts knowledgeable and advocating for a better environment, better food, better health, and better life on Earth in all these different forms. And the number of different things that all interact to create either health or undermine our health are so many that people can easily feel overwhelmed, and that's why I hope that each week you tune in, and also you can check out the show in archives. We have a terrific backlist of fabulous programs with really knowledgeable people, and to stay informed in an easy, friendly, interactive way with what's going on and what we need to address here in our society. So every week I bring you a different guest, and regular listeners to the show will know that I always begin each program with activism. Why do I do that? Well, for over 25 years, I reported on integrative health and healthy nutrition and all of the things that it takes to create personal health. But over the last 5 to 10 years, I expanded my vision of health, and that's what I'm hoping all of you will do too, because we can't create personal health no matter how healthily we live, what lifestyle choices we try to make, what spiritual protections we invoke. It will be very hard to create perfect health in an unhealthy environment. So we really need to not just act for personal health choice. It's been a 25-year movement that I was part of from the beginning to wake people up to all the reasons why and the hows of how to do that. But it's also essential that more and more and more citizens take action to protect the rights to the things that give us health, as well as to the health of our communities, society, and Earth. And so every week, we learn about different ways we can do that here on this show. And, we've just had some terrific guests. We have another return guest joining me a little today in just a few minutes. But first, I just want to give you the two actions for the day, which I always open the show with actions. And, of course, there'll be more activist opportunities during the program as well. So let's begin with our actions. Today is Yogurt Day. This is the day to save New York's yogurt industry. Last week on the show, I had some people from Frack Action, Julia Walsh and John Armstrong, and I also highlighted an article in Tree Hugger about the fact that we count on all of these healthy things, but we're not going to be enjoying them unless we protect them. So New York State actually has a very thriving organic food industry. It's one of the largest suppliers in the U.S. of organic food products. And one of those products is yogurt. And that's why a whole group has organized today, because Governor Cuomo, the New York's governor, is proposing to open up the southern tier of New York State to fracking, and it would threaten the yogurt industry. For example, has anyone listening to this show, you can't answer directly, ever eaten the Greek yogurt brand Chobani? It's in many, many supermarkets. Well, it's based in Chenango County, and Chenango, along with Steuben County of the southern tier of New York, has more than 250 active dairy farms. And if fracking goes on in the area, there are studies showing that it enters the agriculture, it enters the livestock, and it enters the food products like yogurt that come from livestock animals. On a prior show, we had Drs. Michelle Bramberger and Dr. Robert Oswald, who are scientists. She's a veterinarian, talking about exactly how fracking chemicals have been shown to show up in food and animal livestock. So if you eat healthy yogurt, if you like Chobani, and you're in the Albany area, It's going on right now from 8:15 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. You can go to New Yorkers Against Fracking online to find out more about this event, and I'm sure you'll be very welcome to join them. And I hope that you'll be able to do that. Our second action is something that we can kind of that you can plan and put on your calendar, so it's not something that you just kind of have to spring up and do if you happen to be near Albany, New York. But our second action will be occurring, you can put it on your calendar. It's coming up on August 27th. It's going to be a large gathering in Albany, and there'll be concurrent events down in New York City as well as trainings in nonviolent direct action and strategy on the preceding days of August 25th and 26th to let Governor Cuomo and the state legislators know that New Yorkers everywhere, including in the southern tier, with the proposed area for the initial fracking, don't want that in our state. And a whole list of seller groups, such as many featured on this show, are participating. They include Frack Action, those people were with us last week, New Yorkers Against Fracking, and we've had David Braun on the show repeatedly, Food and Water Watch, Damascus Citizens for Safe Energy, and a whole bunch of other groups, Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy, and the Sierra Club, Atlantic Chapter. So, you can go online to don'tfrackny.org and find out more about how to participate. And if you're in New York or the tri-state region, what goes on in New York goes downstream to New York, Philadelphia, Delaware, Pennsylvania. I urge you to pitch in and show up. Okay, thanks. That's it for actions. And now I'm going to be moving on to welcome today's guest. She's a repeat visitor, also a friend, just a terrific person. And this today happens to be my birthday, so I couldn't be happier to be having her as a guest today on the show. Just a wonderful way to celebrate the wonderful work she's doing, as well as spend my birthday. So soon joining us is Lisa Stocky. I don't know if I'm getting your last name correctly pronounced. I don't know if you could hear that, listeners, but she's whistling happy birthday. Lisa is the co-founder and associate director for Food Democracy Now, which is one of the premier organizations that's been leading the battle against genetically modified organisms and has rallied a lot of citizen awareness and support to blocking GMOs from just running into our food supply via the regulations on the federal level and also on the state level. Food Democracy Now has been very, very active with the California Right to Know labeling initiative, which is going on in the state of California and will be on the ballot there this fall. So we'll talk about that as well as Food Democracy Now's other incredible initiatives to protect our food. And so I want to welcome you, Lisa, once again to Connect the Dots.
Hi, Allison. Can you hear me?
I can indeed, yeah.
Oh, it's so wonderful to talk with you, and happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, I have actually been kind of a little low profile about it. I took the date off my Facebook page because last year it was almost embarrassing. And actually what I'm doing today, what I decided I was going to do today, although I kind of broke my rule a little bit, is highlight the incredible work of all my amazing friends. So I'm doing that on my Facebook page, and I'm doing that here by talking to you. And we have some catching up to do. The last that we touched in, Lisa and Dave Murphy, her partner, the two founders of Food Democracy Now, joined me on a GMO panel at the Brooklyn Food Conference, which occurred in early May. We've also had conference director Nancy Romer on the show, and that's a terrific broadcast to listen to in the archives of Connect the Dots, and I urge people to go listen. But and then we connected around some Twittering for the California Right to Know initiative. Would you just kind of fill our listeners in a little bit about the California Right to Know initiative and Food Democracy Now's role in it, and why we need to be concerned about GMOs, and then we can also broaden out to some of your other activities.
Yeah, sure, you bet. Thank you. Well, yeah, as you mentioned, we've been working on the California Right to Know. It's called Yes on Prop 37. That's the number of the initiative that's going to be on the ballot on November 6th. In order to get that on the ballot, thousands of volunteers across the state of California, with groups such as Label GMOs, led by Pam Larry and her group of volunteers. They've done an amazing job. We had thousands of volunteers through Food Democracy Now, also through Organic Consumers Association, and some other groups in California. They canvassed the state, and they got physical petition signatures from people, almost a million, saying that they wanted this on the ballot, that they wanted the right to know if their food was genetically engineered. So that was an amazing feat in and of itself. And we turned in those signatures in May, and we now have it on the ballot. So Californians will be able to vote whether or not they will have the right to know if their food is labeled, if it's genetically engineered. As you may or may not know, 40 countries already have labeling of their genetically engineered foods. And of course, here in America, we do not have that right. That was determined in, 1992 with our Vice President, Dan Quayle, who had announced that they would not, this new genetic engineering biotechnology would not be burdened with oversight, if you will. That was 20 years ago, and said that he declared them substantially, equivalent. And of course, in looking back, and even at the time, scientists, took a look at this declaration and realized that that was not really true, because the testing that was asked for from the FDA was not conducted. The tests on the environment, on human health, and a variety of other things were never conducted. So with that statement, we all became guinea pigs in this. And now there's many, many, many questions and many, many studies that have been done that have indicated that there are some real, concerns, health concerns, environmental concerns, and also the concerns of our food supply, genetic pollution of our seeds and our crops, that will carry into the next generations.
Yeah, so Lisa, let's just drill in on that for a minute. So, so this isn't just, I'll avoid that food, or gee, I choose not to eat this, but, this is something that it's not just, I made a personal choice today and I ate that, canola oil in a salad dressing or whatever. This is something that actually affects the overall agriculture and the food supply. So this is a perfect connect the dots. It's like beyond the personal choice, and it continues doing so. So this is not just something that's like it's happening today. This is dictating, actually, the presence of GMOs is actually dictating what future generations have available. Is that right?
Absolutely, it absolutely is, and. I'll relate personally, myself in my adult life, particularly when it comes to food, the way that I came to, being mindful of what I eat and the way of it being organic or organically grown, which is over 20 years ago, I felt a personal responsibility, for what I was purchasing and how that affected, the environment and future generations and what kind of system I was contributing to. But as genetic engineering, became more on the scene and more of our foods contained genetically engineered ingredients, that became increasingly difficult. because you just really didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you look at the bigger picture of how are my choices affecting, you know, the rest of humanity, affecting the future, affecting farmers, affecting the environment, and what stretches beyond me, it's difficult to even know how your choices are affecting that when you don't even have the choice.
Mm-hmm.
No. And of course, you know, I always get the question about, you know, organic foods. And of course, or, you know, organic certification, USDA certification determines that the ingredients in any product that is labeled organic cannot contain genetically engineered ingredients. So, yes, a person can always purchase organic and avoid those genetically engineered foods.
But that's going to become harder the more and more widespread those foods are, isn't that right?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now, you know, there's five major crops that are genetically engineered.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one that people think of is corn,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, high fructose corn syrup, as most people are aware by now,
mm-hmm.
has found its way into about 8 of every 10 bites that
mm-hmm.
we eat.
Wow.
About 80% of processed foods. And so it's become a real challenge for most people to avoid it. And, of course, along with that high fructose corn syrup comes that big question mark of, you know, how is this product that's genetically engineered affecting my health and affecting the health of my children, in particular,
mm-hmm.
who are developing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has its far-reaching consequences. There's five major crops right now, but, of course, there's always talk of reaching more into more foods that we eat. And
mm-hmm.
the one that, you know, comes to mind right now is the sweet corn.
Oh, and that's the corn and the cob we eat, right?
Absolutely. It's the corn and the cob.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small percentage of corn that's actually grown. I think it's maybe only like 1%. But it really raises the question, an alarming question in my mind and other scientists' minds, of how this affects us eating the corn directly. You know,
mm-hmm.
that it's not processed, it's not a small amount, as most of us likely get, of course, repeatedly throughout the day, but in processed foods, this is actually a food that is genetically engineered and we're directly consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not labeled.
Mm-hmm.
It's not labeled. And Walmart, where a large percentage of people buy their food,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have 4,000 stores across the country, I think it is now,
mm-hmm.
they have declared that they are going to sell this and they are not going to label it.
Mm.
And, you know, just even being here in Iowa and I'm driving along the road and I see sweet corn alongside the road,
mm-hmm.
oftentimes we'll stop and get it, and now that's raised alarm bells in my mind,
mm.
You know, because I know that a lot of it has made it to the fresh market.
Mm.
I know I've heard that you know, the processors are kind of avoiding it for right now,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of it's making it to the fresh market.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's terrible.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's really.
So,
it's
and that's
really
something,
upsetting.
You know, I mean, and once it gets into the corn, does it get into all the corn, or do we still have the option of having organic corn, for example, with this coming in, or is it going to kind of undermine that as well?
Well, I think it will probably just continue to undermine.
Mm-hmm.
Undermine it, unfortunately.
Mm.
Like I said, it's a very small percentage, but if you've ever been to Iowa, you'll see that we are wall-to-wall corn.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, nature tends to determine that it cross-pollinates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the issue, is
mm-hmm.
that it's not uncommon to have genetic contamination, and it's becoming increasingly challenging for farmers who want to grow organic corn, or even conventional corn that
mm-hmm.
doesn't have genetic traits in it
mm-hmm.
to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And the burden to do so falls upon them
mm-hmm.
To make sure that they protect their corn as opposed to the other way around.
Well, can you explain that? Because, I mean, how do you protect your corn? You're going to put up a lead
mm-hmm.
wall? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, well, I mean, farmers have to put in, you know, buffer zones.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that area comes under their purview, meaning that organic or conventional farmers have to give up their own land to do this,
mm-hmm.
and you know they're the ones that are responsible for protecting their certification.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded of a conversation that I had earlier this year with a gentleman well, I guess he's from Europe, mm-hmm. I will say, and he's had a lot of experience within, you know, biotechnology and government systems and this type of thing, and we had a good conversation, and I asked him, and I said, you know, how does it work over there? Why does Europe have such a different viewpoint, you know, of taking more of the precautionary principle with genetic mm-hmm. engineering?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, that's exactly it. He said it's really more of a mindset, you know, mm-hmm. that the Europeans are more, precautionary about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if a farmer wants to grow genetically engineered crop,
mm-hmm.
he's the one who's taking the risk.
Mm-hmm.
That he has to give up his land, he has to form those buffer zones, and he has to be mindful of his neighbors
mm-hmm.
who did not want he has, you know,
mm-hmm.
want what he is growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a matter of what our thinking is here. We're in America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, since genetic technology and pesticides and that type of thing come from, which is more my thinking, obviously, come from corporations, you know, we've kind of given our, you know, we've yielded to that, you know, over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yield more to corporate interests than we do to, say, you know,
mm-hmm.
our environment
mm-hmm.
or even our human health. So, it's a battle to come around that way, but I think as we're seeing more and more consequences of these choices, you know, we hope that people will come to have a different thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you and Dave have done an outstanding job of really raising the numbers of people who are aware of this, and of course we can see, the Organic Consumers Association also, which mounted the Millions Against Monsanto campaign, even that we're talking about millions, that there's a million signatures in one state alone, all of that. I mean, when I began covering the Organic Consumers Association and the issue of organic standards before they came in, you know, because I've been doing that long, you know, it was just like there were people that, you know, it was a small but dedicated team, and now more and more people are concerned. You know, do you see those numbers growing? What do you think the prime concerns are that people have?
You know, I'm glad that you brought up Organic Consumers Association, because I don't know how many times I have said to Dave, and I said to Ronnie how grateful I am for
mm-hmm.
for Ronnie
Cummins.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, for
mm-hmm.
Ronnie Cummins and Rose and their organization, because, you know, I live in Iowa. We run our group out of Iowa. And I really would not have known, likely, you know, how to navigate that minefield, if you will, of those foods,
mm-hmm.
And to avoid genetically engineered foods for,
mm-hmm.
for my family and for myself. So
mm-hmm.
they've done an amazing job of raising the awareness of these issues and organic standards. And they've been very active in this initiative, and they've put a lot on the table. So then. They've been great leaders. But to your question, which I'm forgetting your question. I'm sorry.
Do you see more people, more and more people getting involved? And what
yes.
do you see is the
mm-hmm.
prime concern that people have that gets them involved?
Yeah. We're definitely seeing those numbers rise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a couple of different things. I think one thing that, gives people concern about this is just perhaps, you know, the fact that it doesn't feel right, I think, to us in a natural sense. I mean, that's kind of, again, my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I talk to people, you know, when you talk about just the idea of genetically, you know, manipulating, you know, DNA, you know, the fabric of life, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's natural that we would have alarm bells for that. So I think that's one thing that kind of, you know, that grabs people. It doesn't feel right to them when they learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a more logical sense, you know, there are many studies. John Fagan, you know, who is an international scientist, and two other colleagues just released a report a couple of months ago
mm-hmm.
Called GMO Myths and
mm-hmm.
Truth,
mm-hmm.
and that can be found on on EarthOpenSource.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 650 I think it's 650, it's over 600, you know, studies that they compiled
mm-hmm.
that point to problems, health problems, environmental problems,
mm-hmm.
Ranging, you know, from, you know, at allergies. And when I say allergies, it's much more than just like sneezing and watery eyes. You know, allergies meaning it is, you know,
it's immune conditions.
Foreign DNA. Yeah, mm-hmm. immune, autoimmune perhaps response.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's very serious.
You know,
those are very, yeah, very, very hard to address and,
mm-hmm.
you know, play a role. And this is from my background in integrative medicine.
Yes.
They play
mm-hmm.
an underlying role in a whole wide range of ailments as well as symptoms. And yet, because our medical system is really just, you know, trying to suppress the symptom and you know, kind of get it out of the way without really dealing with the cause, this is something that's not well known or well understood. So people can
right.
begin having a range of symptoms that are kind of mysterious and strange, and they don't know what it comes from. They could simply feel fatigued, or all kinds of different things could be happening. And
yeah.
it could be due to a weakening of the immune system that could be coming from something like this, and yet we don't mm-hmm. really know about it, and no one's really studying it, although apparently they are somewhere else, fortunately, even though our government, you know, did not seek out independent science for this study. So what is he...
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just giving a little context there. So I'm really fascinated by this. Tell us a little bit more about, like, what the findings are.
Yeah, well, again, this is it's a large report that compiles
mm-hmm.
many studies.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of amazing studies done in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking particularly of you know, the Seralini and Arpad Pusztai. Arpad Pusztai was a gentleman who was researching in England at the time, and this would have been, you know, probably mid-90s,
mm-hmm.
and they were wanting to do GMO, genetically engineered potatoes, and he was asked, his lab was just asked to do some basic studies on this, and
mm-hmm.
they fully expected to find that they were safe,
mm-hmm.
and they were the same, and there was no issue because they looked the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when he did these studies on rats, he found alarming differences
mm-hmm.
in rats that were fed GMO potato as the ones that were fed conventional or regular potato.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked on the news if he would consume those potatoes, and he
mm-hmm.
said, no, I would not.
Mm-hmm.
I would not eat those. And so for about 2 days, he was a sensation, and he was a hero. And then, you know, the biotech industry just completely shut it down and shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he was discredited, as most scientists are who speak out on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he suffered a lot, you know, for coming out on that. And subsequently, years later, actually Prince Charles apologized to him. I don't know if a lot of people know that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And of course, Prince Charles has been, he's been a champion, you know, on these issues in his own way, and healthy food and that type of thing. So, you know, it's studies like these, and there's lots of studies like these. I was just reading a study the other day about, you know, the question of, you know, are GM foods making you fatter?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
mm-hmm.
And
that's always a big concern. That gets everyone's attention.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Yep.
And again, it was with rats, and they found that they had weight gain. And this type of thing. And as you know from your background, Allison, there's all kinds of things that can cause that. You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
typically just a, you know, a behavioral thing where people are always just eating too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be the quality, you know, the foods we're eating or what's in the foods that we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So, and but the thing is we don't know these things because
yeah,
they're not labeled.
Right, exactly. There's a whole discussion that's been ongoing for several years in the integrative health community. You know, we've been fed, it's both GMO foods and a whole range of unhealthy and non-optimal foods. High fructose corn syrup is another one. But, you know, the idea is that, you know, it was thought, in fact, there was a Charlie Rose show on a couple nights ago, and a whole group of scientists were there laughing ironically at themselves, which was good to hear, about the fact that they had believed or hoped that when they studied the human genome, a project that, you know, millions and millions of dollars was spent back going back over a dozen years ago, they believed that, you know, for science at last would master the book of life and we'd be, have every gene on Earth and know, you know, how it acted, and then it could be manipulated by medical science. That was their dream. In fact, it didn't pan out that way, because it turned out that we humans have the same number of genes as a mouse, you know. So it's not like, oh, we sophisticated creature, we have all these different genes. It's, in fact, we have the same kind of number of genes even just as a mouse, you know. So at that point, they had to look further and say, well, it's not just the genes themselves, it's how the genes react to the environment, and this is the science of epigenetics. So the idea is that different things in the environment, like unhealthy foods, turn off or on certain genes of the body to protect the immune system, to work, you know, on hormones and metabolism, all of these things, the genes that help us function either optimally or not, it's not just only in the genes themselves, but usually they're just turned on and off by different, and, you know, either you're upregulating inflammation and weight gain or downregulating it depending upon environmental inputs, and food is one of the major ones. So just a little snapshot of how eating, you know, non-optimal foods that are just generated because they make, you know, supply a lot of food, make a lot of money for industry. This is the way we've decided to organize our food supply. You know, and then we have all these novel health problems that never existed before, and we're scratching our heads, and this is what's going on. So, and we still don't, you know, we're beginning to get a picture of the negative impacts of GMO, but they're, you know, when industry is pressuring, the government very frequently will let these different things in without really knowing the scientific effect on us, you know, and that is the problem, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a classic connect the dots moment there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I agree, and you know, wholeheartedly, and you know, once again, when, you know, people will say, well, you know, why... You know, why don't we have labeling? You know, why is this happening? And people, lots of times, will try to conclude that it's simply because it's safe. But the reality is we haven't had those studies conducted before we release this. And as I've said so many times to people, you know, once the genie's out of the bottle, it's really challenging to put that back in. I think that, you know, the awareness that we are raising on this, the fact that, you know, people deserve to know, you know, what they're eating, people deserve to know what the studies are out there now. And we need to do our best to put that genie back in the bottle, if you will. And also, you know, in my mind, I think that we need to be very, very cautious about advancing this technology any further. And there's an interesting situation I kind of wanted to bring up.
You know what? Let's do our break, and then we'll bring it up after the break. I think that'll be good. And so so we're going to head into our break now. It's only a few minutes. So, listeners, please stay with us here and connect the dots to listen to Lisa's new insight about all of this, and as well as more that Food Democracy Now! Is doing. I'm Allison Rose Levy. Please stay with us for the second half of the show. Welcome back, listeners, to the second half of Connect the Dots. We're here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. at Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. In the first half of the show, we were talking with Lisa Stockey. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Lisa?
You know what? If it was like two generations ago, you would have been exactly right. My Norwegian last name, Stockey, was largely pronounced that, but... we have now since advanced to saying Stokey.
Stokey. Okay. Yes. Okay, yes, yeah, Stokey. All right. Good.
So you're right both ways.
All right. Lisa Stokey, who is the co-founder and associate director of a wonderful organization, Food Democracy Now, that's fighting for our rights to know what's in our food and to improve the quality of the food supply and optimizing it so it's better for our health, and, you know, not just the all kinds of unhealthy products and ingredients put in foods, used in agriculture, are kind of forced down our throats with a range of consequences that we don't really understand that well. So, you know, she's been doing yeoman's work. We've been talking about GMOs in the first half hour. I just, as well as she was going to share a new insight with us. I just want to just say before we get back to that, Lisa, that I just wanted to highlight your organizational website so that listeners can, you know where to go for action, for information, for what's coming up next, for how to participate. You do send out an emailer when there are important actions. It's not a heavy thing. We're just routinely, you know, you bombard with a lot of stuff, I know, because I've been a long-time subscriber. So, you know, listeners, do please go to fooddemocracynow.org. I mean, who doesn't want this? This is important. And you can sign up and be part of the solution. So, Lisa, tell us, you know, you said before the end of the first half hour that you had something to share that was special and new and want to hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess thank you, Allison, and I appreciate that shout out. And I do want to add to that, you know, with our organization, you're right. If people are hearing from us, you know, it's an issue that we consider very important. And lots of times we will, you know, we'll alert people if there's, you know, comment periods that are coming up. A year and a half ago, genetically engineered alfalfa was going to be approved. We got well over 100,000, you know, comments to the USDA website, you know, people saying, you know, I don't really want this. We think it's really important, you know, that our government hears from us, and it does make a difference, you know, when when people make calls and they tell their senator or their congressperson, you know, I care about this issue. I care about the farm bill. I care about farmers. I care about the quality of the food that I'm eating, and it does make a difference. They do listen to that. So I want people to know that their voice does make a difference. And before we move on, you know, from the labeling as well, if we are, I also want people to know that, you know, it's a California ballot initiative, but it's really a nationwide issue. It's a global issue in many, many, many ways. And so, you know, it's why that, you know, the other side just dumped $10 million into this campaign, you know, to defeat this measure. They did that this week.
$10 million.
They dumped another $10 million into it, you know, and the supporters, you know, of the no side, if you will, people who do not want labeling, include Kellogg's, Smucker's, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Sara Lee. If you go to the carighttoknow.org website, carighttoknow, there's information on there. If you want to know who those people are, who those companies are, in addition to Monsanto and BASF and Bayer Science, that type of thing, the food companies, the Grocery Manufacturers Association has said that this is their number one priority for this year, is defeating this measure.
Amazing.
So,
amazing.
Yeah, it is quite amazing. So
they would rather spend $10 million to manipulate public opinion, and that means you listeners,
yes,
as well as everyone you know, they'd rather manipulate you than they would make the changes, you know, to just put some information on a label. Why? Because they know that and marketing studies have shown that people don't want this in their food, and they believe they have the right to make the choice. So what they're actually saying is, we're not talking about reconfiguring, we're talking about just putting it on a label. So if they can keep you in the dark, it's not going to cost that much ink to put it on a label. That's not why they're spending $10 million. They're spending that money to keep you in the dark about what you're eating and not give you the option, which most people want, of knowing what's what they're eating. So to keep you in the dark, they are spending all this money. And that, you know, really tells you something. You know, the other point, Lisa, is that if it passes in California, and this is why, even if you don't live in California, listeners, but you care about this issue, why you can participate, why you should participate in citizen pushback, even though it's not your state and you're not going to be voting on that ballot initiative. The reason why it's very important for people all across this country, in other states who care about this, to donate to organizations like Food Democracy Now and California Right to Know and Millions Against Monsanto. The reason it's important is because if a large state like California passes the labeling initiative and the food products now have to be labeled so that people have the information they need, that means it's happening all across the country. They're not going to produce one food label for California and another one for you in Connecticut or Iowa or wherever you are. So this is a case where local leverage in one area can make a nationwide difference. So if you care about this issue, as you should, as I hope you've learned to become more concerned if you were unaware about it during this program, then, and you've got, you know, and I know times are tough, but this is a very important place to contribute wherever you are, because if it's solved in California, it's solved everywhere, that we now have the freedom to know and make a choice. And this is why these people are spending all this money. They don't want you to have that freedom and know, because they know that you will be avoiding these foods.
you got it exactly. You hit the nail on the head, Allison. California is the eighth largest economy in the world. And you're right. It is a leverage point. It's a campaign that we need all hands on deck. It doesn't matter where you live. And you know, in the coming months, we will be giving you those opportunities, you know, through the campaign and through our own website, Food Democracy Now, to have that impact.
A few weeks back, Lisa, I had on this show a food safety expert, legal attorney, who's been active in this broad arena for over 20 years down in Washington, D.C., you know, working on the regulations and the laws, knows the inside and outs of the USDA and the FDA quite well. And he said, and he fights many food-related issues, and I've had him on the show repeatedly as well as blogged about him on the Huffington Post, where I blog. If this is your first time tuning in, you can find me and follow me and read my blogs on the Huffington Post as well as my website, healthjournalist.com. It's Allison Rose Levy on Huffington Post. I've covered his issues. He said that the GMO issue, the labeling in California, it's the most important health issue in the United States this year. That's his take on it. And this is a veteran.
Yes, yes.
Of all of this. Very important stuff.
Yes, yes, they're right. We cannot stress that. I mean, it is an all hands on deck. I mean, we are putting incredible resources into this, with our time and our money.
Mm-hmm.
The companies, you know, when we talk about, you know, the other companies on the other side that are putting their resources into the know, I really want to give, you know, kudos, and I can't say enough about Lundberg Rice,
mm-hmm.
Nature's Path, Eden Foods, DrMercola.com. They've really stepped up to the plate. They recognize this as an important issue,
mm-hmm.
and they have been invaluable,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this fight that we have. And it, of course, isn't something that they quote, have to do, but they know it's the right thing to do. And so I would also say to your listeners, if you want to reward those companies, you know, this is the time to do it, and they're certainly deserving of that.
Nature's Path was on the anti-GMO panel,
yes.
With us at the Brooklyn Food Coalition that I was mentioning in the first half of the
mm-hmm.
show, where you, Lisa, and Dave Murphy, both of Food Democracy Now, were giving a really super presentation that I moderated back in May. And Nature's
yes.
Path was also represented on that panel. And they were present as a sponsor as well of the Brooklyn Food Conference, which was something that was just really terrific. And they were actually giving out little packets of their granola
yes.
at the conference. And I don't usually eat a lot of granola, but I, you know, couldn't resist getting some of those packets. And I have to say that I've been having it, you know, just a mild dose, not a huge bowl, not, you know, keeping the carb levels down, et cetera. But I've been eating their crunchy chocolate raspberry granola with, you know, with hemp
yeah.
milk and yogurt and fruit this summer. And it is absolutely delicious. They, their products are fantastic. So,
yes.
You know, these are, so, you know, in effect, people always think, well, I go to the farmer's market and I vote by buying a healthy vegetable.
Yes.
And it's true that you're supporting businesses, but those can be kind of, very often can be overrun by bad regulations, you know, the rights of healthy farmers to give you the food
yes.
you want. But when we do know who our allies are in terms of these larger companies, the ones that
uh-huh.
you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have a choice when you're making a purchase, go with them because they're the ones that are recycling what you, you know, your consumer dollars to really help improve our food supply. So special yes. shout out.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. They are deserving of that. And yeah, so yeah, just getting back to, I guess that this is as a nationwide effort, we would encourage people, if you know people in California, call them, ask them to go and vote yes on Prop 37
mm-hmm.
for GMO labeling. And whatever you have to give, you know, is much appreciated. You know, the thing is that this movement, as you mentioned earlier, is growing daily. And we know that there are tens and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. There are millions of people that care about this issue. If we all just donate a little bit, you know, whatever you can, we can meet their measure. You know, we want to have a broad base of support on this.
And also, I want to say that on all of this, since this has such a major impact, in other words, a vote in one state
mm-hmm.
affects what goes on in the United States, and it really
mm-hmm.
builds a movement, because it has that potential, you know, I've highlighted fracking activism earlier in the show, featured two opportunities,
mm-hmm.
have covered that
mm-hmm.
repeatedly. You know, so I have many issues that I cover. I mean, there's a long list, but the opportunity, and I love them all. You know, I think they're all very important, but with this issue, I have to say there is the opportunity for a big, high profile win, in a major state that functions as a pushback, toward the groups that are opposing, our health through, insisting on business as usual without the modifications that would be needed to really consider human health. And so it's important on many levels to have this win, and it's attainable because it's already,
yes.
because you and these other organizations and the issue itself has already, you know, galvanized this level of support. So, you know, if you're listening, you know, figure out how you can be part of the win that's coming, hopefully, on this.
Yes. Yes, thank you. We do hope to win, and we need to win. But we need everybody to join us. You know, that cares about this issue, even if in their own small way, to join us. It's the way that we will win. This is a grassroots, people powered effort, for sure.
Now you can people can also follow Food Democracy Now on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
And they can follow California Right to Know, CA Right to Know on Facebook and on their website. I'm looking at the anti-GMO, the $10 million from Campbell's Soup and all of these other brands that you mentioned, Lisa. You know, it's really important to stay informed on all of this. So those are other ways to do that. You can follow my Facebook pages, Connecting the Dots for Health, as well as Allison Rose Levy. You know, when I think of these folks spending all this money, and yet, you know, recently they poured, the Corn Refiners Association poured a lot of money into trying to pull the wool over everyone's eyes through changing the name of high fructose corn syrup. The health community had done too good a job letting people know the problems, and now they wanted to change the name to corn sugar to deceive people all over again, and they petitioned the FDA, and they lost due to citizen pushback. So, you know, we can make a difference, and here is your opportunity. Now, we're coming down to, like, the last 7 minutes or so of the show. Is there anything else, Lisa, that, you know, either is relevant to this issue or to something else that you guys are working on that you can share with us?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I guess the other big push, you know, organizationally that we have right now that we are very engaged in, and if you're on our list, you're aware of this. But we are a plaintiff in a lawsuit against Monsanto, challenging their patents on genetically engineered seed. The lead plaintiff in this is OSCADA, which is Organic Seed Growers and Trade Association. The president of that organization is Jim Garrison. He was named the Yadni Reader, you know, one of the top visionaries last year, top 25 visionaries. Wonderful, wonderful man, very hardworking man. You know, we need people's support on that as well. You know, we had our hearing on January 31st. In front of a judge, just to even have this case heard, and the judge, you know, declared that the farmers overstated the threat by Monsanto, which was really disappointing. We have appealed that decision, and we should have our upcoming court case, you know, end of the year, early next year, to appeal her decision. You know, and people say, you know, well, this is, you know, something that's happening in the courts, you know, in our judicial system. But we still feel that, you know, it's important for public opinion, for people to show how farmers do not overstate the threat of this. That farmers do have a right to farm the way they want to farm, which gets back to what we were talking about earlier in Europe, how they have more in their mindset is the precautionary principle. And, you know, as more and more of these, you know, crops are advancing, and Monsanto is making more and more money, their profits continue to go up, and it's largely because these foods are hidden, they're not labeled, and, you know, farmers are increasingly losing their choices and their options, and this lawsuit is about farmers having the right to farm the way that they want to farm. And, you know, they don't have to be the ones, in my mind, to be the ones to give up their land for boundaries. They're doing the right thing. They're farming the land that the way it should be farmed.
Well, here's the issue, raising
and this type of thing. Go ahead.
My understanding of this is that, you know, seeds travel. They cross-pollinate. So,
yes.
You know, the idea that you can keep your organic crops and seeds, you know, and your piece of land sacrosanct when the wind, you know, we in our society, we parcel everything out and own different pieces of the earth or intellectual properties, and now they're even, you know, claiming to own seeds and everything.
Yes.
But the fact is that in nature, which means in reality, seeds travel, water travels, air travels, you know, all of this stuff travels, and you know, this is how nature, you know, keeps things moving and alive, and it's part of the fact that we're here on a living planet. So, you know, that means that the seeds from a Monsanto crop can go dancing over and infect or cross-pollinate, you know, with someone else's crop. And if those seeds are bred to die or be infertile or create infertility in animals, an organic farmer doesn't have a lot of protection against them. And, you know, in fact, the suit should be, don't send your Terminator seeds that die over to my seeds and my land. But instead, the argument, because these are powerful companies, has become, oh, you've stolen my seeds if the seed traveled in the wind and pollinated. And there's a history of Monsanto suing small farmers for stealing something they don't want. You know, So this is my kind of quick take on the issue, and unfortunately, the judge didn't quite see it that way, and, you know, probably a New York City judge isn't that well informed about agriculture, I guess. But so the issue is really to protect farmers from these frivolous lawsuits that they can be harassed with by these big companies. So, you know, yet again, another really compelling reason to support Food Democracy Now and the others who are banded together fighting this lawsuit. And also people can look, I've done a couple of blogs on this on the Huffington Post, which you can look in my archive there, as well as it's also on my website, healthjournalistblog.com. And we'll be doing more because this is it's a real infringement of rights, and it's unfortunate that the courts have weighed in on the wrong side thus far, but that's what the appeal system is for, and hopefully the next round will go better. I really hope it does. So let's see, we're going to be coming down to our last few minutes here, so you know, I just want to thank you. It's a pleasure having you on. I would love, you know, to have you return and recur on the show and kind of keep us informed as things proceed. It's always a delight talking to you. I hope we get to do more in-person presentations and things as well together. And just thank you so much for the incredible work that you and Dave Murphy are doing, Lisa. And listeners, you know, please do go check out fooddemocracynow.org. And if you have any questions about this or a prior show, please friend me on Facebook and let me know. Tune in next week to Connect the Dots, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, every Wednesday on the Progressive Radio Network.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Lisa.
Wonderful. Thank you. Mawale, 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 mawale